Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up as a child of missionary parents living in various countries in Africa and also Southwest Minnesota. And he earned an MBA in Economic Development of Less Developed Nations from Eastern University. Since 1988, he's been the director of Cornerstone Development, which serves seven East African countries, offering a wide variety of programs, but all focusing on youth leadership development, following the principles, precepts, and person of Jesus. His name, Tim Croyer. And I'm Jack Crisula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with the most amazing human being that grew up between Africa and little town in Minnesota, Tim Croyer. Tim, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack.
Can we start with you offering a prayer, an opening prayer for all the fathers tonight, please?
All right. Almighty God, we just thank you for this special day that honors fathers all over the world. And we know that fathers reflect your nature, your character to the sons and daughters that you have given them. So, Lord, we just pray that on this day, fathers everywhere would just be reminded of their role to give the kind of love and care that you have given to us, that they would give it to their children. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Can we start by talking about your unique childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
All right. My parents came to Africa before I was born in the 1950s, right after World War II. And they were with a Baptist Mission Agency, which meant that they needed to be on the field for 5 years, and then they would go back to the U.S. For a year. So my older brother, our first child in the family, was born in Africa. And then when my mother was 6 months pregnant, they went back for their 1 year in the U.S. and I was born in the States. And then when I was about 9 months old, they boarded a ship out of New York and sailed over to Africa. And that's where I grew up.
So every 5 years you would come back for a year to America. And then yep. Go back for five more years. What was it like going? It was two different worlds.
Yeah, it was a big change. And the town that we came to is Laverne, Minnesota, which is a population 4,000, right down in the southwest corner near Sioux Falls. But I have a lot of cousins in that area, and my cousin was the county commissioner for a while, and so. Every 5 years, this family from Africa would show up back in this small town where my mother grew up, and we would be in the newspapers, and we would go into join the schools and have a year in the U.S. and then get back on the plane and come to Africa again for another 5 years. So it was a back and forth, it just seemed normal. I didn't know anything else. That's how we grew up.
Africa is three times the size of America.
Correct.
Paint for us a picture, Tim, of Africa in the 60s.
Well, I think at that time was when most of the African countries were trying to come out from under the yoke of colonialism and gain their independence. So it was a volatile time. And in some of the countries, especially the Congo, where my parents worked, the Belgian colonial powers had not really tried to prepare the Africans to to rule themselves at one point. So at the time of independence, when the Congo people staged different rebellions and campaigns to take over the country, when they finally took over in 1960, in the entire Congo, there was only 7 university graduates. And the country is massive. It's about a third of the size of the States. It has no road from east to west or north to south. And it's never really settled. It has immense mineral wealth. The uranium that was used for the atomic bombs in World War II came from Congo. So it has always been kind of like a fought over for its mineral wealth. It has a lot of gold and copper. And that has destabilized it. But in the whole region here of Africa, the 1960s represented the time when many of the countries were able to get their independence. So it was a volatile time, and it affected our family. Our childhood home was blown up in one of the conflicts, and we moved quite a bit. We would move into one of the neighboring countries, either Rwanda or Uganda, when there was too much trouble in the Congo.
You got an MBA in economic development from less developed nations, from Eastern University. And then you decided to devote your life to serving the African people. Why so?
I just had this sense right from when I was young that I needed to live my life for something bigger than myself. But growing up, I never thought I would come back to Africa. I just had this feeling like there was something that I was supposed to do with my life beyond just pursuing my own interests and my own success. And I came back to the U.S. for college. And in the middle of college, I was going through a lot of soul searching, asking God, what's my purpose? What's my destiny? And I reached a point where I had this moment of what I call absolute surrender. I told God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be who you want me to be. And it was like something opened up over my head. It was like a waterfall of light and love. And it was like a download of something that came into me of God's spirit that I think was preparing me for this kind of work that would become my life work. And soon after that, I was talking to a childhood friend, and the conversation, he had this idea, what if we went back and worked in Africa? And I just felt at that moment that that was a direction I needed to take. So it started me on a process of finishing this, eventually this master's degree in economic development, and coming back here to just invest my life in this part of the world.
We're talking to Tim Croyder. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the African people. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, with Tim Croyder, who since 1988 has been the director of Cornerstone Development in Africa. Tim, tell us about the African people, please.
Well, first of all, Africa is massive and it's diverse. The people in the north are quite different than the people in the south and in the east and the west. As Jack said at the beginning of the program, the continent is 3 times the size of the U.S. But in the part of Africa that I live in, the people are doing everything they can to gain a better life, especially for their children. They're especially keen about education, and they sacrifice everything they can to put their kids through school. There's no free schooling here. So right from grade school and on to high school, they probably, average family spends 60% of their income to put the kids in the best schools as they can. The area that we work in still has a lot of ethnic diversity. It's one of the most ethnically diverse groups, areas on the planet. So a lot of the conflict that has happened in Africa has just come from these different ethnic groups or tribes being bundled together in a modern nation state or a country, and then learning to develop an identity that is not just based on their tribe, but on their whole country, and trying to forge just national unity. So it's been a challenge, but by and large, the people are hardworking, and by and large, I would say they're more joyful than the average person in the U.S. or in Europe.
Let's go back to October of 1989. You meet a young kid named Mike Timmis Jr. And soon thereafter, you meet his parents, Mike and Nancy. Tell us about the Timmis family.
Okay, the Timmis family is a family that is from just outside of Detroit, Grosse Pointe. And yeah, I met Michael Timmis Jr. here in Africa. And he had decided to come here like for a few months between college, and then I think he was going on to law school. But while he was here, his dad came out to visit, and somebody took him to meet the president of the country. And the president asked their family if they would build a hospital. And this was in the country of Uganda, where we're based, and it was right after a turbulent time when Idi Amin had been president, and then the country went into a tailspin, and then the current president took power, and he was trying to get the country back on its feet. But the Timmis family decided to build a hospital at the request of the president, and that kept Michael Jr. on longer in the country. So as he stayed on to work on this hospital, he started to get this idea of doing some other projects and kind of staying in Africa for a few more years. And I met him when he was like 24, and he had this heart and he had this ambition, but he didn't not know a whole lot about Africa. And I had grown up here, and I also wanted to do something, so we became partners. And we started this work called Cornerstone, which now works in 7 countries. We have a staff of 200, and they're all local people except my son and myself. And we work basically in the area of education. We have a string of our own boarding high schools where we have about 2,000 kids that are in our own high schools. But we work on youth leadership development. And this is a program, this is a project that I started with Michael Timmis Jr. and with the backing of his family. And his father, Mike Timmis Sr., comes out to Africa every year. He has not missed for the last 30 years to travel here and visit and be with the people.
What's the biggest thing you've learned from Mike, Nancy, and Michael Jr.?
Well, Michael Sr. has been like a father to me for the last 30 years. One of the things he taught me, he's a businessman, and he taught me something. They said, never outrun your supply lines. Like when you're expanding, because we've expanded a lot over the 30 years, don't expand too quickly to where you get yourself overstretched and you're not able to fulfill your qualities, your commitments with quality. Michael Jr., I think the thing I learned from him was to think big. I think he grew up with in a very different socioeconomic situation than I did, where his dad had made some good amount of money, and he didn't have limitations on his imagination. And I grew up from the child of a missionary that was just scraping by a lot of the time. And Michael just had this much more expansive vision to think big and not let yourself be limited by fears that we can't do this or this is beyond us.
And the matriarch of the family, Nancy.
Nancy has been extremely, I think, supportive of her husband and her son over this time. Nancy really has a heart for the young people in our work to get married into stable partnerships. And when she comes out, she talks to the young people just about finding a good life partner and making a commitment that lasts through your life. And I think this is you know, it goes along with today's theme of fatherhood. You know, if a mother and a father can stay together through the ups and downs of life, the kids are the biggest beneficiaries, and that's what she always emphasizes.
Very quietly, she's been the wind beneath the wings of Mike and Mike Jr. In addition to a number of hospitals, tens of schools, you also have ranch, farms, milk production. Talk about that for us.
Well, when we were first starting out, the country of Uganda, as I had said earlier, had just gone through a lot of upheaval and wars after Idi Amin left power, and then there were two or three presidents that tried to stabilize things. But jobs was a big need in the country, and we set up, we have a 2-square-mile ranch that has a dairy operation on it just to provide jobs for the area and also some income for the projects that we run. So that was really the purpose of the ranch. But the ranch serves now as a basis for our community. We have 3 schools on the ranch with a population of 1,500 kids that come in from the villages, and some of the kids are in boarding. So the ranch is like a base for several of our schools at the moment as well.
If you want to learn more, www.cornerstonedevelopment.org. Cornerstonedevelopment.org. They're in 7 African countries. You've had tens of thousands of graduates. Share with us 2 of the alumni and their stories.
Well, one of the alumni that comes to mind right away is a young man who's a member of parliament in this country of Uganda. And, you know, member of parliament would be equivalent to a congressman in the U.S. And he came from very humble background. The first time he applied to our academy, he didn't make it. His grades weren't very good. So he went back, he studied a bit more, and then he got in. And then after he finished the high school, he couldn't go on to college. We help most of our kids go to college, but we ask them to come up with something small. He couldn't come up with much. So he took a couple years off, and he was actually a radio announcer, Jack. And while he was a radio announcer, he became very popular in his area. He lives in a remote part of the country, and that popularity eventually stood him well when he ran for parliament later on, and he's now in his second term of office. I think as far as a young lady, there's a lady called a Fortunate who has started her own organization to help girls in particular come up, especially girls from humble backgrounds or single mothers, and finish their education and go out into the world and make a difference in their community. And Fortunate is also, she's traveled to the U.S. She's been in Michelle Obama's programs a little bit. And so these are two young people that came from extremely humble backgrounds that are now a force for positive change in their country.
We're talking to Tim Kreuter, the executive director of Cornerstone Development. One of their huge focuses is reconciliation and unity, which we desperately need in America right now. When we come back, we'll talk about reconciliation and unity. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, or Tim Kreuter. Tim, a huge focus for you and your team of 200 has been reconciliation and unity, which we desperately now need in America. Your thoughts?
Okay. The part of the world that we work in, these 7 countries in Africa, it has seen more death from human conflict than any part of the world since World War II. So when we started working here, we knew that if we were to make a dent in things and to make a change, we had to address the issue of reconciliation and unity across the ethnic and religious differences. Most of the conflicts in this region are around those two things. So the Timmis family that I partner with, Mike Timmis, has had this long, lifelong passion of reconciling Catholics and Protestants. He wrote a book called Between Two Worlds that talks about that. And when I met him, that was really our, I think, our point of connection. So we just feel like we need to make that a focus of our work. And yeah, all over the world, as Jack said right now, there's this this crying need to see one another as brothers and sisters despite the differences. There was a time in the Bible where Jesus stood up, and it says he was speaking to the crowds in Matthew 23. And verse 8, he says, "You're all brothers." And then he adds in verse 9, "Because you have one Father who's in heaven." So we teach this idea of the brotherhood of mankind under the fatherhood of God. And we teach that there is no them. It's just us. And all these differences that have come up over the years based on ethnicity or based on ideology are really, the differences are less than what we have in common, which is our common humanity and our common identity as children of God.
We're talking to Tim Kreuter, the director of Cornerstone Development in 7 African countries, a team of 200, he and his son Eric, and then the rest are all African people. I quote you now, Tim. "We see relationships as primary and tasks as secondary. In other words, what we do flows out of who we are." Please.
Yeah, as an organization, our philosophy was to create a family of friends that crosses all these divisions, the religious divisions, the economic divisions, and the ethnic divisions. In this part of the world, for example, in the country of Tanzania, where we work, half of the people are Muslims. So we wanted our community and our work to itself to be a reflection of what we're trying to teach. So we came up with this idea that who we are is primary and what we do is secondary. So what we do should flow out of who we are. If we can't model it and demonstrate it ourselves as a family of friends, that's what we call our organization, then everything we're trying to teach will not have any power behind it. So yeah, we try to live this out. It's extremely difficult, but I feel like we've done it as good as anyone. And we do feel like around Jesus, there is common ground, especially within the different Christian groups, but even with our Muslim brothers and sisters. They see Jesus as a prophet. They still have reverence for him. So if the values that we have in common come from him, there's something that holds us together. And that's sort of the way that we've approached this issue of reconciliation and unity.
Speaking of Jesus, his longest speech, I guess, if you would, was in the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and 16. And verse 16 in that 15th chapter, I quote, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit," Tim, "fruit that will last," Tim, "and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." You've truly learned to let go and let God. You live for God. And what you and this Timmis family have done, and along with the 200 people and others, has been unbelievable. What are your thoughts about that passage in John 15?
Well, you know, we all have this idea that it's us who has to choose to follow Jesus or obey God, and that's very much true. But we also see in the scriptures where there are people who are told, like Jeremiah was told, "Before you were born, I knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I appointed you to be a prophet. The same thing was said of John the Baptist. Before you were born, I set you apart. And Paul says in Galatians, God set me apart from my mother's womb. So, yes, we do have to make this choice, but I believe for myself, and I think it's for each of you listening, that before you came down here to planet Earth, you had some kind of conversation with God, and there was something that you in particular were supposed to do. There was a mission, and or maybe it's just supposed to be something. Maybe you're just supposed to be a light in your community. But I don't think that passage is just for people like me. I think it's for everybody. I think there was a plan and a purpose for our coming down here. And part of our life task is to discover what is our mission and to be that light or to do that thing that God set you apart even before you were born and commissioned you and set you down here to planet Earth to carry out. So that's sort of a life philosophy that I've had in. And that's what I take away from that verse.
You want to learn more at www.cornerstonedevelopment.org. We're talking to Tim Kreuter, the director of Cornerstone Development, which serves 7 East African countries: Uganda, Rwanda, Kenya, Tanzania, South Sudan, Burundi, and the Congo, offering a wide variety of programs, but all of them focusing on youth leadership development, following the principle, precepts, and person of Jesus. Tim, tomorrow we celebrate Father's Day. You're a father figure to thousands of young people in these 7 African countries, tens of thousands. What do you say to the fathers listening tonight?
Well, I would just say to fathers everywhere that, I have to say this to myself because I'm also a father, biological father, and also somebody that, as Jack says, many young people in Africa look up to as a father figure. On my Facebook page alone, I have 5,000 friends, close to 3,000 followers. So there's like 8,000 just there. And they look up to us. Fathers, to me, are the first reflection of a child's understanding of the nature of God. And sociologists have talked about this, that, you know, if a father is loving and kind and supportive to the kids, it affects a child's perception of God. So I would just say to fathers everywhere, just take this vocation seriously. None of us are perfect. I've not been a perfect father. All of us are learning on the job, but just recognize the importance and the way that those young hearts and minds look to you, and how you imprint them for the rest of their lives.
The late Reverend Robert Schuller, you know, Crystal Grove, yeah, The Hour of Power, often said, and I quote him, "The number one thing a dad can do for his children is to love their mom." Why so?
Well, I've also worked with a lot of kids that come from broken families, and it hurts them. And so if a father, a husband doesn't love his wife and the family breaks up, the kids often, you know, are the ones who pay the greatest price. And a lot of times kids blame themselves. They think maybe they did something wrong to cause it. So I think, loving a father to love the mother of his children just shows the kids that he cares for them. It also models something to them because they're going to be parents later on in life, and they learn from seeing what their parents did. And yeah, that's something that I would say Robert Schuller was trying to bring through.
We're talking to Tim Kreuter, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. 15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Anything is possible.
This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Tim Kreuter, Director of Cornerstone Development, which serves the youth of seven countries in East Africa. Tim, what do you say to a father tonight that has abandoned his kids?
I would just say there's nothing better you could do than to just go back and reconnect with those kids. I mean, even if you can't take them back into your home, they need you in their lives. There's only one person on the planet that they will ever recognize as their biological father, and that's you. So just be there for your kids and do what you can to make them feel your love and your care.
Another quote from you. It's a quote that you heard, that you used from Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. I came from God. I belong to God. I'm going back to God. Please.
Yeah, that verse has been like a motto for my life. It just helps me frame my time here on earth. It shows me that I didn't just fall out of the sky, but I came from God, meaning that I was with him, and there was a purpose and a design behind my coming here to earth. I belong to him means that all the years that I have on this planet, it's not to just do my own thing or chase my own pleasure, but there's something that I need to do for his kingdom. And I'm going back to him. I just believe like that's my destiny. If someone says, well, what if, after the end of your life, you find yourself in hell? Well, and my answer would be, well, if I'm in hell, I'll start to organize Bible studies or programs or things to uplift. And they'll say, get this guy out of here. He doesn't belong here. I just feel like I have this confidence that I'll be going back to God, and I'll go back and give a report for the time that I spent here on earth.
Another quote from you. I had him, but he didn't have me. Today, Jesus sure has you, but talk to us about that quote.
Well, I grew up in a strong religious family, and God was always part of my life. And I think this is true for many of us. We have this part of ourselves that is our faith, and we feel like we have God in our lives. I felt like that wasn't enough. God in my life, but he did not have me. He did not have me in my entirety. And so I reached a point where I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be that. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And to me, that was a big turning point. I think when you do that, you release the power of God to put you on a trajectory that takes you to fulfill your highest potentials. And I think that, in my own experience, was a turning point that allowed God to use me. And I think if there's one prayer I've prayed more than any other prayer in my life is, Lord, make me an instrument. Here I am, use me. And I think if you do that, you activate the highest plan for your lifetime.
One of the many, many things I've learned being the beneficiary, not the host of the show for 15 years, is when I've talked to people that have served the third world countries, they've all been amazed at the joy of the people who have nothing compared to what we have in the first world country. And they say, despair is a first world country phenomenon. There ain't no despair in a third world because they die. And you alluded that this joy in African people, expound on that, if you will.
Okay, well, it's not that they're without their problems. They have as much stress and challenges, I think, that many do. But there is definitely an apparent higher degree of joy among the average person here than you would find in the U.S. I think one of the things that accounts for that is they live very much in the present moment. I think in the U.S., we're very future-oriented. We're always planning ahead, and we have our investments, and we're looking, you know, for our retirement. If you live always in the future, you miss the present moment. And one of the things I like to say is the presence of God is only found in the present. And so when you're in the presence of God, you will have more love, joy, and peace. And so I think that the people who live on the edge of life sometimes are forced to be in that present moment context, and it allows them more access to joy.
Amazing. As our time winds down, would you please lead us in a closing prayer this evening?
Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for just the listeners who are listening to this, and especially the fathers on this special day. Pray that they would be inspired to take up that calling of being a father in a special way. We also pray for our country, America, that is going through this difficult time, that we would learn to see each other as brothers and sisters and learn to look to you as our Father and put aside the things that have divided us. And we just thank you, Lord, for this radio program. Just bless the people who support it, that it would continue to inspire all the listeners. We pray this in your name. Amen.
And thank you also for Cornerstone Development in these 7 East African nations. Tim Kreuter, when you meet our Maker, you're going to hear the 6 greatest words anyone can ever hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Brasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.